In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When my children were very young, and one of them was getting more attention than the others, invariably he or she would cry out very loudly, "And me, Daddy, and me." It took a long time for them to realize that it was okay for us to do different things at different times with their brothers or sisters, but they just simply didn't want to be left out. And me. Being ignored can be frustrating for the best of us, but for many people in our world, as in history, it is a way of life. To be, as it were, invisible and of no consequence. During the pandemic, one of the more tragic consequences of the lockdown in many countries has been the effect on the elderly who are in care homes. Deprived of visits from their loved ones, lacking the stimulation of friends or family, not even knowing when or if they would ever receive a visit again, many have retreated into themselves. Dementia has been accelerated in some and become all too real. It is as if so many frail elderly have become invisible. It is so easy to ignore someone. We do it without even thinking, as when our mobile phone rings, and if we don't know the number, how often do we simply click the button ignore? And how often do we fail to recognize someone's need or disability? In the airport last week, I saw a sign on the disabled access toilet. It said, "Not all disabilities are visible. Think outside the chair." It made me think of my eldest daughter, who has a learning disability. She wears a lanyard covered in bright sunflowers that says, "Hidden disability." In the scriptures, there are many people who seem to be invisible to others and who are ignored, yet the scriptures bring them to the forefront. The poor, the blind, the lame, those with physical or mental disabilities, the widows and the orphans, the poorest of the poor in the Hebrew scriptures, and yet they are never forgotten in the Torah or the prophets. In Jeremiah's prophecy today, the return from exile will not only be joyous, it will be inclusive of all, regardless of their place in society. "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the furthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together." The blind and the lame we know of as disabled, but those with child and in labor, the prophet is not simply talking about disability, but the need for community. All those people needed others in order to thrive. Note that the Lord says that he will remove the obstacles they have experienced in the past. Jeremiah says, "I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble." And this is not simply ancient disabled access that the prophet is talking about. He is describing how the community can be a place where all can have value. When Jean Vanier founded the first L'Arche community just north of Paris for people with mental disabilities, he said that he did it as a project, but that quickly changed for him. He wrote this: "When I first welcomed Raphael and Philippe from the asylum, I knew it was for life. It would have been impossible to create bonds with them and then send them back to hospital or anywhere else. My goal in starting L'Arche was to found a family, a community with and for those who are weak and poor because of a mental disability and who feel alone and abandoned. But I have gradually discovered their gift. At the start, I could not believe myself to be generous, but living with Raphael and his brothers and sisters, I began to realize my own limitations and mixed motives. To enter into relationship with them, I have had to discover that I too am poor. I have had somehow to stop having projects so that I could discover the child in myself, the child of God. In our gospel reading today, we are at a pivotal moment in Mark's narrative. For several weeks, we've been listening to Jesus speaking about discipleship. Three times in those discourses, he has spoken about his impending death. Only a few verses before today's gospel story, after the encounter of Jesus with the rich young man, Jesus says these words about the Son of Man: "They will mock him and spit upon him and scourge him and kill him." Jesus and his disciples had begun the walk to Jerusalem, which led to the gospel we heard last week and the debate over power and the request of James and John to sit in glory, to which Jesus responds, "The Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So there they are on the road to Jerusalem. And as they leave Jericho, there must have been huge crowds because the Passover was about to be celebrated. And as Jesus and the disciples leave Jericho, the crowd must have become even greater. So much so that one poor, unfortunate beggar was about to miss the opportunity of his life. Poor, blind Bartimaeus. Only the second time that Mark gives us the name of a person being healed. Only in this case, we actually don't really know his name. For Mark explains that Bartimaeus is Aramaic for son of Timaeus. We can assume that Timaeus died some time ago and that his son, blind, therefore had no one to care for him. He sits there on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem and he's begging and he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this is significant because very soon the crowd will take up that cry themselves as Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But the crowd are not interested in a blind beggar. They press, if you like, the ignore button on their mobile phones. And Mark says that they spoke sternly to the poor man. They told him to be quiet, to take his allotted place on the side of the road. But Bartimaeus will not be silenced. He may not be able to see, but he will not let this opportunity pass him by. "Son of David, have mercy on me." He cries even louder. In all the noise of the crowd, I find it incredible that Jesus hears him. But Jesus is attuned to those who have nothing, to those who are forgotten, unfortunate, or ignored by those who are seemingly able-bodied or powerful. I love it in England. Sometimes I have friends who are physically disabled and they always write D-I-S in small letters and then abled in big letters. Jesus stops still. Isn't that fascinating? Great crowd. Bartimaeus begging on the street, shouting out, Jesus stops still. And something extraordinary happens. He says to the crowd, not to Bartimaeus, to the crowd, "Call him here." Now, perhaps he knew the poor blind man would never find his way to him. Call him here. The blind man, the poorest of the poor, will have a place in the community of Jesus after all. And, of course, they go and call him. But it isn't just about that. I asked the children at 9 o'clock, how did he get to find Jesus if he couldn't see? And one of them said, well, they must have helped him. And another detail easily missed is the throwing away of Bartimaeus' cloak, his garment. Now, the cloak at the time of Jesus was a symbol of power. And in the case of Jesus himself, he would be given very soon a purple cloak by the soldiers to mock him. And then his own clothes, his own garments would be taken away and divided among the soldiers. But the cloak is also a practical tool for this poor blind man. He probably didn't wear the cloak except at nighttime. Rather, he would have spread it out before him on the road to collect coins as he begged. Just as people busking here in have their instrument cases open here in New York, or somebody rattles a tin to attract your attention. And what do we hear? Bartimaeus immediately gave up his cloak, his garment, probably his only possession of worth and a symbol of his meager subsistence. He did so in faith. And that's what Jesus is interested in. The miracle itself is described in an almost throwaway line because Jesus says that his faith has made Bartimaeus well. Or as we heard in King James's version, his faith had made him whole. His faith had saved him. That was what mattered. And then the last detail that we might also miss, Jesus tells Bartimaeus to go his way. After all, now he could see, he could take his place in society once again. But Mark does not tell us that he went his own way. Instead, it says he followed Jesus on the way. This is the very opposite reaction to that of the rich young man that we heard about 2 weeks ago, who could not let go of his own deep attachment to property and wealth, who walked his own way, away from Jesus. The irony is that Bartimaeus becomes rich because of his faith in Jesus has restored him to the beloved community. The rich young man walked away. He is the one truly impoverished. Today, my friends, we have a chance to let go of what encumbrances stop us from building a community where all are valued. Today, we have the chance to discover our own hidden disabilities that Jesus invites us to share with him. Today, we are invited by Jesus to give up whatever treasure possession prevents us from being truly his disciple, and to open ourselves up to those who are in need. The church is meant to be a beloved community of believers where all are welcomed. But sometimes, as you well know, it can be the opposite of that. That's why this year we're reflecting on two words that came out of our survey from a couple of years ago, belonging and trust. People said time and time again, that's what matters. That needs to be the hallmark of St. Thomas, belonging and trust. Listen to some words of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. One, often we Christians constitute the worst obstacle for those who try to become closer to Christ. We often preach a gospel we do not live. And that is the principal reason why people of the world do not believe. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still. May we be like Bartimaeus, so that Jesus can say to each one of us, your faith has made you whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.